I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. With the Oscars being on later tonight, I've been thinking about some of my favorite movies. And you know how when a film is nominated for an Oscar, they usually show a short scene to give you a little preview. Well, that's also got me thinking about some of my favorite movie scenes. And one of my favorite movie scenes of all times comes from the movie The Shawshank Redemption. And just to give you a little background, in case you haven't seen the movie, or if you haven't seen it in a while, because by now it's kind of an older movie, the main character, who's played by Tim Robbins, is named Andy. And Andy is falsely accused of murder, and he's sentenced to life in prison at Shawshank Penitentiary. And while he's in prison, he befriends a guy named Red, who's played by Morgan Freeman. And the story is about their friendship and about life in prison in general. But in this particular scene that I really love, Andy is in the warden's office, and the guard steps out of the office for a moment, leaving Andy all by himself. And as he's in the warden's office all by himself, Andy notices a record player with a huge box of records right next to it. And as he rifles through the box of records, he finds one of Mozart's operas, and he decides to put it on the record player. And this beautiful music begins to fill the room, and he gets the idea to lock all the doors so no one can get to him. And then he turns the audio system to the entire prison on, and he plays the opera music over all the loudspeakers. And as this beautiful music soars over the loudspeakers, the camera pans to various parts of the prison, the courtyard, the woodshop room, the hospital wing, and all of the inmates have stopped dead in their tracks, and they're looking up at the loudspeakers playing this gorgeous duet. And Red, Andy's friend who narrates the scene, explains, quote, "I have no idea to this day what those two Italian ladies were singing about. Truth is, I don't want to know. Some things are best left unsaid. I'd like to think they were singing about something so beautiful it can't be expressed in words, and it makes your heart ache because of it. I tell you, those voices soared higher and farther than anybody in a gray place dares to dream. It was like some beautiful bird flapped into our drab little cage and made these walls dissolve away, and for the briefest of moments, every last man in Shawshank felt free." End quote. The stunning music that played over the loudspeakers called the inmates' attention to look up beyond the everyday life of their imprisonment and reminded them that there was more to life than the circumstances they found themselves in, that there was something beyond them bringing life and healing into this world. And if you've seen the movie, you know that a few of those inmates never give up on that hope. They trust in that hope to the very end. This morning, we heard one of the most familiar Bible verses of our day, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Now, for many, it's a short and straightforward summary of God's love for the world and Christian belief in general. And perhaps that's why we see it all over the place, in ballparks and on bumper stickers, and we even see it on the eye black of professional sports players. But there's more to this passage than just the famous John 3:16. One of the words that pops up quite a bit throughout this lesson is the word believe. Whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Everyone who believes in him may not perish. Those who believe in him are not condemned, and so on. And that word, believe, is translated from the Greek word pistuin, meaning faith. And it's important to point out that in John's gospel, pistuin always takes the verbal form. It's something you do. The word believe in John's gospel should not be reduced to mentally ascribing to a certain set of statements or propositions. It's much more than just cognitive affirmations. It's about trust. It's about trusting that through Jesus, God is working to transform the world and our lives. And this trust requires that we participate in the way of life that Jesus makes known. This theme of trust is reflected in the first couple of verses of the story we hear this morning. The verses that come before the famous John 3:16 are interesting, to say the least. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Those lines about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness is a reference to the story from the book of Numbers we heard earlier this morning, when God, dismayed at the grumblings of the Israelites in the wilderness, sends venomous snakes to berate them. And as a result, the Israelites realize their dependence on God, and God has Moses lift up a bronze snake on a pole so that whoever is bitten by one of these venomous snakes can look up and be healed. It's kind of a wild story, I have to admit, but think about the trust this story is asking people to take. Imagine being surrounded by venomous snakes on the ground all around you, and imagine the courage it would take to not be focused on the danger that's slithering around at your feet, and instead to look up. Look up to what God has provided to be healed. It takes trust. And it's when the Israelites exercise this trust by looking to what God has provided that they are healed and offered life. Now, I thought about releasing a bunch of venomous snakes in the church this morning and then hoisting up a bronze snake on a pole to test our trust, but then Reverend Rachel talked me out of that idea. Good job, Reverend Rachel. But just like the bronze snake was lifted up to heal the Israelites, so too Jesus is lifted up to heal the world. And this lifting up, physically and metaphorically, refers to Jesus being lifted up upon the cross. In John's gospel, the crucifixion represents God's great act of redemption and healing. And if we look at it through the lens of Numbers and the bronze snake, it's not about payment or punishment. It's about giving life. The crucifixion in John's gospel represents the moment when God's love is made known. In the face of violence, God is going to keep doing what God has always done: love. Looking up at the cross invites us into relationship with God and to a new way of life. Again, this requires a lot of trust. To look up from all that surrounds us, our preoccupations, our distractions, our concerns, our anxieties, our fears, and to look upon the cross, trusting that God's love made known in Jesus, shows us another way. Another way of forgiveness, of mercy, of reconciliation, and compassion that draws us into a deeper and more abundant life. It's a way that draws us into the generous and never-ending love of God that brings life and healing into the world. Like the characters in The Shawshank Redemption, who looked up to those loudspeakers as they played that gorgeous duet and never gave up on the hope that that music offered, we are invited to look upon the cross, trusting that God has shown us another way that draws us into relationship with God and that brings life and healing into our lives and into this world. Amen.